No. This is the only thing that's going to shock you back into a sense of reality. Okay? So they go down as this last-ditch medicine for Dante the Pilgrim, with the hope that maybe he'll be able to learn something from it. And Francesca presents it as though it's this wonderful privilege to come and visit me here in this wonderful place. Well, again, a kind of image of the Inferno as a whole. Every single soul in the Inferno firmly and absolutely believes herself or himself to be the center of the universe, and nothing else exists outside of themselves.
And when Francesca begins to tell her story, it's interesting that in three straight tercets, she begins with the word love. But more than that, listen to the verbs that go with it. Love, that kindles quick in the gentle heart, seized this one, her partner, for the beauty of my body. Love, that excuses no one loved from loving, seized me so strongly. And then love led us straight to sudden death altogether.
One thing that's sort of interesting about that is if we go back to a question that we raised before, since that they're going to shift the blame on somebody else, who or what else is to blame? The first thing Francesca blames is love. Who made you do it? Love made me do it. She personifies love as an active and irresistible force. Couldn't get out of it. Now notice that in doing that, that rather not so subtly takes the blame away from herself. All right? Not my fault. Whose fault is it? Love. Love that prohibits no one loved from loving. I looked at the body and I was just seized. There's nothing I could do about it. So she starts out not making a defense, but assuming it. Right? Assuming something about the nature of love. Now, there are a couple things about that that might give one pause. First of all, the language that she herself uses is very romantic language. Sometimes when feeling especially frisky in class, I sort of do it in a kind of exaggerated southern accent because she makes it sound very, very romantic. But it really is stuff right out of a soap opera. And more important, it's stuff right out of Dante's own earlier lyric poetry. The kind of poetry that he and his buddies would have written would be the kind of poetry that invokes exactly that kind of love. Right? However, seriously, is hard to say, but all of a sudden you have somebody speaking back to Dante in language that Dante himself used when he was younger. And that presents some interesting difficulties and problems. Because what it means is that Dante the Pilgrim takes this. Oh, yeah, you know, let's talk about love. He's every bit as interested in talking about love as Francesca is. And he's willing to buy her story. It's kind of interesting that when she talks about this, he becomes more and more upset by this. How could anything like this lead to your present state of suffering? Well, when talking to her about that, he's worrying a little bit about himself, it seems to me.
Well, after this initial conversation where she invokes love, love, and love, a kind of trinity of her own, we know what she takes most seriously in life, and this is certainly not love as in caritas, but love as in eros, then after a brief exchange, she begins actually to narrate the story that Ron narrated in a very different way a few minutes ago. She tells the story from a somewhat different perspective than Ron told the story. She begins by explaining, one day, this guy, who again, A, never speaks in hell, B, is her brother-in-law. This guy and I were together, and gosh, we were alone, and there was nothing to do. And by golly, we began to read about the story of Lancelot. They began to read an Arthurian romance. Now, one does not have to be an Arthurian scholar, among other things, to remember that this does involve your basic triangle. That is to say, king, queen, and knight who loves the queen. And we all are familiar probably with the basic Arthurian story. Now, there were many medieval versions of this story, but certainly the primary moral lesson was that the adultery that took place at the court of King Arthur was sort of the beginning of the end of the Round Table. It's very hard to run your kingdom when the king's wife is doing things with one of the knights. And that's clearly sort of the moral import of the story. But significantly, at the beginning of Francesca's recitation of her woes, she tells us the reason they read this book. They read it for dalliance. They read it to pass the time away. They read it because there wasn't anything else better to do.
In Italian, the word she uses is